You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Welcome back, everyone, to Game Day. Let's continue to get around these games. Bills, Dolphins. Tony, let's start with you here. LeSean McCoy's been brilliant at home this year. I know Gillis Lee, you know, can vulture some of those TDs there at the goal line, but you got to feel good about McCoy a second week in a row, right, regardless. Doesn't he do enough that even with Gillis Lee's presence that you feel good about him?
He's like one of those guys that you can't have a bad game because in PPR leagues, because he's going to catch balls anyways, right, and he's going to be the number one receiver. So you put him in down 23 points. I think he's actually viable this week in daily fantasy, and nobody's going to be playing him because there's so many cheap backs, the $5,000 or $6,000 backs. He's actually going to be low-owned today.
I agree, and it's funny. I have him in the Fantasy Alarm Cash Game Black Book lineup for that same reason. Because you took it right out of there, man. I agree with 100%. A lot of people were not on him last week because of the salary. And I kept saying, look, you got to be careful with Bell coming off that huge game. McCoy's the guy. Forget Gillis Lee. It's going to scare people away enough that it's going to make a difference. And McCoy did. How about you, Scott? You think Ajayi here is able to get out from under it a little bit? He seems to really kind of, you know, be limping towards the finish line here for the Dolphins.
Well, I will say this, though. It's a good matchup for Ajayi. You know, Buffalo's not very good against the run, but they've suffered some offensive line injuries. But I think he gets in the end zone. I think if you're looking to save money on daily at tight end, or you're desperate for some tight end help, Matt Moore seems to have a real connection with Deion Sims. He's only $2,600 on DraftKings.
Now, here's a fun stat here.
That could be a good call.
It could, very, very much so. Ryan Tannehill was averaging around 7 yards a pass. Since Matt Moore's taken over, that's doubled. Now, granted, you got to take it with a grain of salt because they did play the Jets secondary last week. But, Luke, let's ask you, is there any wide receiver here you feel good about in this matchup with Buffalo on the Dolphins side?
I mean, there's always the opportunity for Stills to catch a deep ball. I mean, the Bills secondary is not that bad, so I'm not really high on any of this. I'm actually not that high on Jarvis Landry. I don't think he's going to replicate what he did the last week. The Bills have been pretty consistent in containing slot receivers. So I'm not really that high on Landry this week. But if anyone, I could see maybe Stills catching a long touchdown over the top of the defense.
All right, Colts Raiders. A lot of people are looking for some points in this one. What's the over under this one? It's in the 53. Look, this one you want both shares of. I'll start with you. Would you rather have Luck or Carr in this contest, Scott?
I'm going to go with Luck. The Colts have played really well on the road. I think they've won in like their last four road games or something like that. The right side of the offensive line is, you know, they've been having injury issues there. But, you know, Carr's been playing from the shotgun and the results haven't been good. He hasn't been a top 15 quarterback in any week since he suffered the injury. So I'm going to go with Luck because I think T.Y. Hilton's going to eat them up over the middle of the field.
How about over on the other side here? Let's start with you, Mike. You know, Amari Cooper is very boom or bust, right? And he was so, you know, down last week. I know Crabtree's the more consistent one, but I got a feeling this week about Amari Cooper. What are your thoughts on Cooper this week? You think he has one of those big-time games where you make us remember why Amari Cooper has such a high yardage total in the first place?
I don't think it's necessarily as big-time as you think. I think it's more than Crabtree. I think he does have a better game than people expect. I also like Clive Walford in this one too. The Colts are 27th in the league in allowing passing yards, 261.4, so I think it's a great day for Carr overall, but I have a feeling about Walford in this one.
Tony, what are your thoughts on Tavius Murray in this one and Gore? Yeah. Let's get to those two backs here. Murray has had a good second half here. He's gotten more volume. There's other running backs that kind of faded into the pack there. Do you think that part of the game plan against Luck is let's control the offense a little bit more and control the ball a little bit more? Is this a heavier Latavius Murray day to kind of keep Luck off the field?
Yeah, I like 17 points from Murray I have listed here. Here's the narrative to the story. They got a team total of 28.5. Their quarterback's injured. Both wide receivers are injured. Michael Crabtree's had a couple drops, but he's playing with a bad hand, so yes. I don't know if that's going to stop. Amari Cooper's dealing with a bad shoulder. The quarterback's got a bad finger. I think this defense has been terrible against the run. I think it's Latavius Murray today.
All right, on to the Rams and 49ers. All right, I'm not going to spend too much time here, so I'm going to put this to the table. Ready? Todd Gurley, 100 yards and a touchdown, over or under, Tony Cincotta?
I'm going to go over.
How about you, Luke? Over, under, 100 and a touchdown from Todd Gurley.
I got him at a buck 40. I'm going to go over.
Whoa, look at you. Yeah.
I better change some lineups.
Lukey Benino, he's throwing it out there. How about you, Mike Gardano Jr.? Over, under, 100 and a score.
Over.
Scotty?
I say over, and I also like Tavon Austin in this game. This run defense is so bad against San Francisco. I could see him taking a handoff in for a score. He's 4,000 on DraftKings. I got him in the lineup.
Do you like him better than Kenny Britt? I agree with you that a wide receiver is good. They let up two touchdown passes every week, too.
They do. They do. I like Britt, too.
Yeah, I mean, at home, too, I think I'm with you guys. I think over as well for Gurley.
What about Jared Goff and Daly, Tony?
No, he's definitely. I was hoping that Case Keenum was going to play this week, and I was going to play him. Goff,
hey,
not
you,
good, and
you
he's
hit
hurt.
Case Keenum that week too. I'll never forget, man.
I was going back to him. I was all excited when he got hurt last week. I'm saying, the 49ers next week, I'm going to make $1 million with Case Keenum.
And let me tell you, when you thought the same thing. I was like, wow, you know, if Keenum gets that shot next week against 49ers, I might have to go full Cincotta and go Keenum on some lineups.
Yeah, I'll use a couple Jared Goff Scots, to be honest, but I'm a little scared because of the injury and he's not good. But I'm going to take a couple shots with him. I like the Rams.
A lot of reasons to be afraid.
Yeah. He's not good, and he's hurt. I mean, what could be a worse indictment of putting someone in the lineup?
How much do you like Bortles and Daly today?
I like Bortles more than Goff.
I like him, too, yeah.
I like
him
way more than Goff.
I would go Bortles, Savage, then Goff if you're looking at the $5,000
Bortles is.
What about Barkley? He's 5,000, too.
Yeah, I would put him, too.
Behind Bortles?
Yeah.
What's your projection for Bortles today? How many points?
Yeah, let me grab that. See, you got to put me on the spot here. I want to give
all
you
right. While you're grabbing that, let's
accurate. Get, I have him for 17 fantasy points.
That's not bad because then you can front load the rest of your lineup.
Well, I won. I came in ninth in a tournament, and Bortles only had 15 points. There was 10,000 people
right.
in the tournament.
Well, that's the point I'm making about Bortles this week. Is that for at 5K, he puts up 15 to 18, which is something that he's done despite the massive turnovers. It's still very reasonable. Now, the question is there enough guys you want to pay up for this week because of it? Because if you're just playing the main slate, I don't think that's as good of a play as if you're playing the wraparound. Like, if you're trying to get Ezekiel Elliott, if you're trying to get Le'Veon Bell, if you're trying to get those guys in your lineup, Antonio Brown.
Yeah, they're not in. You're right.
Bortles is a play. Let me specify. To me, Bortles is a play if you're playing Saturday, Sunday, Monday. If you're playing today only, I don't play Bortles. No way.
I agree with you. I have actually went and used Breeze and Brady in a lot of those today-only games because there's 6,000 running backs. You drop down with DeAndre Hopkins, and you get a cheap play. Julian Edelman's another guy I like. He's only 6,800. The only top-flight guy I could see paying for at the wide receiver position today is Julio Jones. The
see, that's what
and
I've
there.
Got Ryan and Jones.
I like Evans. I like Evans at 8,500.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Evans is another one I like. Evans is a good one. But I'm with you on Julio, and I got a lot of Matt Ryan shares today. I got
Phillip Rivers at 6,900.
See, that one scares me. See, I'd rather go down to the bottom or to the top because I think Rivers is that guy in the middle that if he doesn't produce, that's a lineup killer.
I can't see him not producing. He's had double-digit touchdowns in, the past five, six games. If they roll up the score, they can't rely on their running game. They can't.
That's fair. With the running back out, it's fair. Seahawks, Cardinals. Cardinals coming off giving up a ton of points last week. Going into Seattle, probably a tough place. Seattle coming off a huge win. Scott, what's your fantasy breakdown on this one? Where do you see this one rolling out?
Yeah, check out my preview on Seahawks.com. I think it's a lower-scoring game. No more than two touchdowns for Russell Wilson. I think Rawls gets in the end zone. Baldwin, you know, without any Honey Badger or Tyvon Branch in the slot, has a good game. I think, you know, running in two receiver sets, Tyler Lockett might see more of Patrick Peterson today, so I'm not big on him. Jimmy Graham has scored all of his touchdowns at home, but the Cardinals are best against the tight end in fantasy football, so I don't see a lot of upside there. On the other side of the ball, the Seahawks are without Earl Thomas, so I could see J.J. Nelson scoring a deep touchdown. Not expecting too much from Larry Fitzgerald. The Seahawks have we talk about the Seahawks offensive line. The Arizona offensive line isn't too good. And if they start putting Bobby Wagner in there and make him the third man on blitzes with Cliff Averill and Michael Bennett, it's going to be a long day for Carson Palmer.
I'll tell you what. Every time you say Honey Badger, I go, what the hell is he talking about, a Lisa Ann movie? And then I remember.
Every time he says Honey Badger, an angel gets his wings. I think he's given like three or four out today. Luke, what do you think? You think this is the one week where David Johnson does not get 100 yards all-purpose? Is this the one?
I mean, yeah. If he's in your line, I mean, if you've had him all season, it's almost impossible not to
play. Oh, look,
play
he ain't coming
him.
Out of like, a yeah. lineup, but I'm wondering, for is like this the one league? Where he doesn't do
yeah,
it?
I'm, yeah, I'm going to stay away. I'm just... In terms of game flow, that I'm not really high on the Cardinal team. I just don't see them getting up, and just because the athleticism of the Seahawks defense is probably the best equipped of most team, better equipped than most teams to handle David Johnson. Now he'll probably still end up with a respectable stat line. He's never really going to get totally shut down, but compared to his past games, yeah, I'm definitely lower on him than in the past.
All right, Saints. Saints-Bucks, this is the one we've all got here. Everybody's going to have a ton of shares in this one. You got Cooks, you got Thomas, you got an angry Mark Ingram. It's going to be a good time here. And on the Bucks side, too, I mean, look, last time these two teams met, the scoring was almost non-existent. This time, we imagine it's going to be perhaps the opposite of that. But are we putting the cart before the horse here, Tony? I mean, because of the matchup and what it was last time, are we saying it's in the dome, therefore forget last time, doesn't matter, it was a road Drew Brees, and we forget it altogether? Or does Tampa somehow have a little bit better gauge on how to slow down this New Orleans attack?
No, I just chalk it up to a bad game. Just like, you know, Brees just came off, what, zero touchdown passes, six interceptions, then lit it up the following week.
Yeah.
I really think that this is going to be a game that's going to put up some points in this game. And whether it's going to be 50 points or 40 points scored, that's all going to be dictated by how many times they settle for a field goal. But I like in this game, I don't like Brandon Cooks in this game to get deep. Tampa drops those safeties back, and he seems to be one-dimensional now, Brandon Cooks, that I like Thomas and Willie Snead better than Brandon Cooks today.
Now, that's interesting there. Now, we mentioned on the other side, Scott, we talked about...
By the way, I love Snead. I love Snead in the slot today. He's got a great matchup.
Yep.
Snead in the slot sounds like a Dr. Seuss thing, by the way. I think that was a Dr. Seuss story, I'm pretty sure. Snead in the slot, doesn't he? Right? He catches a lot. The over Cameron Brate. that was a Tony Cincata one for you. That was
no, Tony comes up with better left field ones.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I know. Yeah. I should stay out of it. Cameron Brate, on the other hand.
Tony would be like, Willie Snead is a saint. Do you think the guy doesn't do anything bad off the field?
Cameron Brate is also a guy who's in play this week besides Mike Evans, Scott. I mean, you look at his salary there, he's under $4,000 in DraftKings. You think there's going to be a lot of heavy ownership on Brate today?
Yeah, I think there is. But this game, it's like I always talk about divisional games and anything can happen. Up front, New Orleans is playing a lot better. This game could turn out to be the one that people have a lot of daily investment in, and that it turns the other way. This game scares me. That it might be physical.
I have no shares
in
this game today.
It might be familiar. I am going to use Snead, and I got Jameis Winston in one daily lineup. But I think I think Winston has to throw. They can't depend on the running game.
Let me rephrase.
There's
I have
floor
Cameron
there.
Brate. Cameron Brate's
there's
what
a floor
I've got.
There,
the rest of this game, I'm
this game yeah. scares me. You don't know who's going to run the ball in New Orleans.
I think there's danger in this game today. I've actually taken shots. He's only 4,400, so I'm more price enforcing that. We did have the altercation with the coach and the player last week about Hightower getting a goal line carry. And so I'm taking a little shot here with the $4,400 Ingram salary. That's really low in a game with a high total.
Tony, are you more apt to run Brees out naked without wide receivers attached to him?
Oh, absolutely. See, I don't think that when a guy spreads the ball around.
Right, I always feel like Brees is better without one of the guys.
Yeah, that's an ideal situation for me. With that kind of guy, as opposed to someone like Matt Ryan, who's got Julio, you know, when Julio Jones is healthy and he targets him frequently, then you can't do it with a guy like Matt Ryan. Tom Brady's another guy you could do it with because he throws the ball when Rob Gronkowski's not playing. So many different guys catch the ball.
Right, right. Absolutely. All right, we're going to hit a break here when we come back. We're going to talk about more DeAndre Hopkins and Savage in this Bengals contest. Plus, we've got Sunday games as well. Steelers and Chiefs. So stick around. We've got more Game Day right after this. Welcome back, everyone, to Game Day here. It's Christmas Eve. It's the holiday season. And we're ringing it in, baby. That's how we do it. Texans hosting the Bengals. You know, mentioning earlier, too, about Savage and about Hopkins here with Lamar Miller being out. We all think that that's probably a positive thing here. What about the tight end Griffin? Let's start with you, Scott. You think there's anything here carryover for him in this week?
You don't know where Savage is going to go with the ball, though. It's we know that Osweiler went to the tight end, you know, and C.J. Fedorich is back, so I'm not feeling it.
All right, so we really kind of hit that game a little bit. We talked about them earlier. A.J. Green, as we mentioned, is out for that one.
He's out for the rest of the season now, too, so if you got to play week 17.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
If you play week 17, you can just cross him out. You can cut him today.
Yeah, Adam Schefter and Jay Glazer reporting that he's out final two games. That's a miserable way to end a miserable season for the Bengals, that's for sure. Steelers, Ravens, now Roethlisberger at home. We all know, big difference, 17 touchdowns to just three picks at home. Let's start with Luke over here on this one. Luke, you know, the Ravens have a good defense here, obviously, but do you think that they can even slow down this attack when they're in Pittsburgh?
Actually, I think they're not going to stop Le'Veon Bell. I think they can do a decent job of slowing him. Their run defense has actually been pretty decent throughout the course, pretty good throughout the course of the year. One guy I like maybe in that you could grab in daily, actually, with looks like Ladarius Green's going to be out. I might look at I might think about adding Jesse James if you're trying to get a cheap tight end there. I saw Antonio Brown had a quote about saying he's never seen so much triple coverage last time he played the Ravens. I'm sure they're going to be focused on him a ton in the passing game. So I could see Jesse James easily sneaking in there for maybe like four catches, 58, 60-something yards if you're trying to get something cheap in that area.
With all that coverage, Mike, does that scare you off Antonio Brown this week at all if you're playing that whole wraparound slate?
In daily, I'm not the biggest fan, but if you have him in season-long leagues again, you've got to put him out there.
All right, look back to the Ravens running backs now. Look, you know, Dixon did not do what many folks were hoping for. West or Dixon this week? Scott Engel, what do you think?
I would go Dixon because the Steelers are more vulnerable to pass catching backs. But, you know, pass blocking was bad last week, and he lost a lot of snaps to West. So, you know, I'm not big on it.
Kansas City Chiefs are hosting the Denver Broncos. Chiefs 10-4, Broncos 8-6. Broncos are... Well, this is a must-win here for them. This is a big game, but I don't think they're going to come out with it. You know, they have not been able to convert points, and that's not a good thing when you're heading into Arrowhead. That's not a good place to start doing it. Over on the Chiefs side, you know, we talked about Spencer Ware earlier. Tony, are you concerned with Charcandrick West again? You're getting that touchdown and taking it away from Ware when they get down there?
I'm not concerned, but can it happen? Yeah.
Well, we know it can. We've seen it enough. That's for
sure.
You
look at that, and a lot of times it's just a change of pace back. He comes in, and it's crazy because you look at it, Spencer Ware's the bigger back.
Right. It makes no sense in your mind. I don't get it. I don't get it. Now, you see a lot of volume, too, last couple weeks for Sanders and Demaryius Thomas. Is there one that you favor there, Tony, between the two?
Yeah. Demaryius Thomas has a better matchup. Everybody talks about Marcus Peters and how good he is. Nobody's good. This is I'm going to give everybody that's new to football a little lesson here. Ooh. If a guy has 8 interceptions, that doesn't mean he's a great cover cornerback. What it means is he takes chances, he goes for big plays. And when he does that, he also gets burnt. And he's going to be have an ability with Demaryius Thomas on him to have a big play. Kansas City's allowed the third most fantasy points to wide receivers.
Yeah, good point there. All right, let's get to the phones. We got Kelly in Tampa on the line. Kelly, what's going on? Good morning. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, guys. How are you?
Good. How's the clan going? Everyone's getting ready? Everyone's pumped?
Oh, yeah. I've got the presents all loaded and just getting ready and going to head up to my parents' house to celebrate the next couple of days with them.
There you go. All right. You got any fantasy questions? Are you still playing in leagues here, or was last week the end?
No, I do have a question. So I'm starting this PPR. I'm starting Antonio Brown and Inman. And then for running backs, I'm starting DeMarco Murray and Kelly. But then I need one wide receiver and one flex. So I have Ty Montgomery. So I figured he was a shoe-in for a wide receiver, but then I'm wondering if I should move him down to flex because of the wide receiver running back role. And then so it would either be Ty Montgomery or Mitchell as my wide receiver. And then if I use Ty Montgomery as my wide receiver, then it would be either Powell, Dixon, or Mitchell in my flex. Does all that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I got it. So Montgomery, I would go over Mitchell because of the guaranteed more touches over there. So I think Mitchell could have, but you're waiting for a bomb, and anytime you sit there and you wait on a bomb, it could go the other way. So I'd go Montgomery there. And then on the other one, I like Bilal Powell in a PPR league. I just think he catches six balls today.
How about you, Scott? What's your thought on that?
Yeah, I agree with Tony there. It's like I'd like to get Mitchell in there, but you just can't.
Yeah. All right, then. Any other ones you got for us, Kelly?
Nope, that's it.
Well, listen, you guys have a great Christmas and enjoy it with the family, and we'll hopefully be talking to you next week as a champion. That's what we want to hear.
Oh, Kelly, before you go, without giving the whole script away, what was your impression of the Star Wars movie?
I loved it.
Really? So it's good. It's
yeah, worth going. No, it is. It's the perfect tie between episodes 3 and 4, so I've lovingly called it episode 3.5.
Nice. Oh, I like that. Very nice. Yeah. Well done.
Hey, Tony.
Well done. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, so no spoilers.
Yeah, that's me either. I'm going next week.
So. Yeah, I'm going to go next week to see it as well. You know, my wife, my son, they both want to see it. Yeah, I'm very interested.
I've heard nothing but good things.
I'm very interested in it because, you know, I heard, like, you know, it's really like Kelly just said, like, it's you really feel like it's authentic, like in the version of like 1977 and the first one and like leading up to it. Tony, check out this DraftKings lineup I've built today. Tom Brady at quarterback, Latavius Murray, Jordan Howard at running back, T.Y. Hilton, Julian Edelman, Willie Snead at wide receiver, Vernon Davis at tight end, Tavon Austin at the flex, and the Cardinals defense.
I like that a lot. I'll tell you what, I haven't used Latavius Murray in a lineup yet, and basically, so I go and look at these lineups, and then I'll change them a million times before 1 o'clock. That's a huge mistake. I like your lineup. I like it a lot.
Yeah, it's 1 of 4 that I rolled out today.
Vernon Davis is a guy, too, we haven't talked about. He's a guy, we talked about, you know, the tight ends without Jordan Reed. Vernon Davis is a guy that just steps in and makes plays.
Yeah, every time. He has every single time. Have you two boys seen Rogue One yet, young men?
I have.
What'd you think?
I really enjoyed
positive
it.
Obviously,
the beginning's a little... I won't give anything away, but the beginning's...
Don't.
The beginning's a bit slower than the end, but the end does a great job tying into the next... from 3 to 4, they do a good job tying up all the loose ends, and
that seems to be the thing. Everyone says like the last 20 minutes of that movie is really
some good battle
really
scenes
strong.
Too. Really
nice. I like Authentic that. Are you a Star Wars guy, Mike, or no?
I haven't seen the movie yet.
Yeah, you know, are you a Star Wars guy?
A little bit.
I don't think you could be
not
a little bit. You gotta.
Yeah, no,
you gotta be
really.
Either or. You're either a Star Wars guy or you're not a Star Wars guy, I think. So, you guys kind of grew up with the prequels, too. Like, you remember going to see them in the movie theaters, I imagine?
Yeah, I remember going to see, sadly, I remember seeing 2. That was a sight for sore eyes. But 3, I enjoyed 3. I did. And especially
3 is okay until the end, where all of a sudden he's like Frankenstein at the end, and I'm like, why is Darth Vader walking around
that's
like Frankenstein?
That's fair, but especially with once you see this movie, I think you'll appreciate 3 a little more, because, like, it's... The loose ends are tied up. I think it does a good job, but 2 was just atrocious.
I watched Revenge of the Sith again the other day, and I liked it. You know, it's
got moments. Yeah, I think we like it by comparison.
I like it
especially
the end. It's just like I'm so fascinated with the Darth Vader character. Yeah. So
I think it's by far
like
the best
that.
Prequel.
Number 2 was just way too much acting. You know, just way too much.
Way
too much dialogue. You know, it's like
and the worst.
And then
dialogue
3
ever.
Was better because
was so
like.
Bad.
Like
I love you truly.
I remember Natalie Portman going, Padme going, you're going down a path I can't follow. And I'm thinking to myself, why? Because you're finally like doing quality acting.
Scott, that's very harsh. Scott, that was very harsh. Poor Natalie Portman's mom's listening to the show.
Yeah, I'm sure she is. I'm sure Natalie Portman's listening.
My mom listened to the show, and you ripped me a new asshole several times.
Jesus.
Oh, one more game left to go. Cowboys, Lions on the Monday night. Lions having all kinds of issues. No Theo Riddick in this one. That's not going to help for sure. Scott, what's your take on this one? You think there's a Cowboys blowout here? Are the Lions basically just falling apart here at the end?
You know, how much does Dallas really play for? It's like the intensity is going to be on the Detroit side other than Ezekiel Elliott. So I Detroit needs this game. You like Golden Tate, I think, in this matchup. But it's hard to trust anybody else on that offense either, though. So this could be a low-scoring affair, I think.
All right, we're going to hit a break. When we come back here, we're going to start taking apart the FanDuel and DraftKings sites. So get your daily lineups out and ready, because we're going to help you win some money. Hopefully you're listening to Game Day right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back, everyone, to Fantasy Game Day right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We've got a full boat here, and we're going to take them all to a little daily fantasy land. We're going to go and take a look at our slates here. Let's start with the quarterbacks. Tony, I'm going to ask you a question. Does the millionaire lineup have Drew Brees in it this week?
Does the millionaire? It could.
Oh, that's not it. It's a yes or no. Come on. Let's have some
fun. All right. I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say no to you. I'm going to say no. Who does it have in it?
Oh, I thought, no.
If you're going to take a stab,
I just gave it to you.
I don't think any lineup with Tavon Austin wins $1 million. I'm sorry.
Really?
Oh,
the
he's
49ers?
The type of guy to, he could
be a difference maker. Benny Ricciardi liked it, so screw you, Pizzle.
Does Benny like it?
Yeah.
If Benny likes it, then I hate it more.
Yeah. Go join the dark side. Go bullseye wombat.
Join.
Wombat
I'm the leader of the dark side. I can bullseye. Back home, I used to all the time.
If you want to pay out for quarterbacks, Drew Brees is the guy today. There's no doubt about it. Tom Brady's my number two guy. And against the wishes of Scott Engel, I actually have Russell Wilson as my number three guy.
He's going and contrarian.
Then,
Look at you. And then if you want to save a little cash, Blake Bortles, as we talked about earlier, Matt Barkley's the next guy that you're going to go. And one guy that I like today that people are forgetting because he had a bad performance last game, the Washington Redskins have a 26 total today, and Kirk Cousins, after a bad game, people are going to forget, and he could be contrarian play today.
Well, look, Kirk Cousins at 68, Scott, or Aaron Rodgers at 67 on DK?
I prefer Philip Rivers is 69, but I'll lean Cousins.
If you're going to go min salary on a quarterback today, Mike Cardano Jr., are you going to go Bortles or are you going to go over with Barkley?
Oh, God.
Hey, this is why we get the big bucks, see? Because we have to answer these kind of questions. That's or the medium bucks, at least, I guess.
That's true.
Or the small bucks, Mike.
The Maxwell House coffee.
Yeah, that's true. I just work for coffee. That's what
I do. Bortles is, I guess Bortles is, he's not even consistent, but he's the more consistent play just because he'll get you that 15 to 18 range of points. I think Barkley could have a better game just because he has more upside than Bortles. I mean, Bortles is going to give two or three picks. But I think Barkley could do better and have more upside.
See, this is what drives me crazy. Poor Blake Bortles, right? He'll have more picks. In his career, Barkley has 6 touchdown passes and 7 interceptions, but he's going to be better off.
Let's go over to the running backs here. We got Jordan Howard at 6,300. Tony, is he the best value of the day in terms of RB?
Oh, the best value of the day. So you're talking about a Groupon, right?
Well, look, you got him at 63. You got Todd.
Totally lost.
Hello there.
Are you there?
I thought Darth Vader took over for there. Yeah, he's the best bargain on the day.
I find your lack of faith disturbing, Sincada.
Yeah, Jay Ajayi. I like Howard, Ajayi, Bilal Powell, and Todd Gurley in that order. I have Gurley 4th out of those backs.
I like
what about Latavius Murray?
Go ahead. No, so go ahead. Who was that? Who just chimed in there? Was that you? Luke, was that?
I said
Mike?
I like Gore at 4,800 too. I don't think that's a bad price for him.
I don't like Gore. I feel
I didn't even notice.
I think the Raiders, you know, have tightened up against the run the last 3 weeks, and yeah, you know, he was that was his first 100-yard game in 30 last week, I'm going to go with your boy, Mike Cardano Jr., though. I like Jonathan Stewart at 5,200.
I love Stewart today, too.
Yeah. Don't forget Latavius Murray.
He ran so hard against a bad bad defense last week, plays another bad defense this week. But Frank Gore is a little more than a running, you know, he's going to catch balls out of the backfield, too, Scotty.
Yeah, I could see that as well.
Fair enough, fair enough. All right, let's continue on the wide receiver end there. Top of the board, we've obviously got Julio Jones, Mike Evans, both over 8. If you're going to go with one of those in a cash game, Scott, which one do you prefer? You prefer Evans against the Saints, or you like Julio in the matchup against Carolina?
Like I said, I'm not using Julio in DFS. That's a very painful injury to manage. I think Evans bounces back from this last matchup. Like I said, this game could go the other way and not be high score, and I still like Evans against the Saints. I feel like Winston has to throw to keep this offense moving. He cannot rely on his running game.
Mike, T.Y. Hilton at 7,800, or would you fade that down to $800 more to Jordy Nelson at 7K?
I like Jordy Nelson, actually.
You like the savings and the touchdown upside? Is that what you're looking for?
I do, yeah. I'm not a big fan. Harrison Smith is out, right? Yeah.
Yeah, Harrison Smith.
I like Jordy.
And let's go down a little bit further here to the some of the wide receivers. You got Willie Snead at 55, Jameson Crowder 56. Luke, what is your thoughts? You talked about Crowder earlier. Are you willing to put your money where your mouth is with him, or you like Snead with New Orleans?
I like both those guys. I mean, you also got Pierre Garçon at 49. I know you said you like Garçon better than Crowder. You can go either way. If you're looking to save a little money, you could save $700 there on Garçon over Crowder. But I think all three of those guys are good options at a pretty solid price. Honestly, I wouldn't pay up for a wide receiver this week. I think there's a lot of really good options that you can get into in the $4,000 to $5,000 range.
One of those is my guy, Chris Hogan, and I'll tell you why. The Jets have been giving up big plays to wide receivers all year. Malcolm Mitchell scored twice against them last time. You know, they might be aware of that, watch the film and say, we don't want Mitchell burning us again. Edelman's going to get his. Martellus Bennett is too banged up maybe to take advantage of this matchup.
I think Hogan can
beat them deep for a score, and he's only 4,200.
Let's go down to a tale of two Jacksonville Jaguars. Tony Sincotta, Marquise Lee at 43, or Allen Robinson for $300 more?
Yeah, I got Allen Robinson, but I have them back-to-back. I mean, I think they're both in the same realm. I get them both around 17 points in this game. They played. It's tough to love these guys, right? As Scotty keeps pointing out and making it very harsh. Marquise Lee didn't catch a ball last week.
Wow, Tony Sincotta says, I'm harsh. You hear that? Sussman, do you even watch sports?
Did you say that to Greg?
Yes.
Did you ever watch sports?
Yeah. What you just said proves you don't even watch sports.
What did he say to warrant that? Wait, I want to know what Greg said to
Everybody's laughing at you right now, but I'm harsh.
I think he said the NBA offseason was more fun
was more compelling than the hot stove.
NBA offseason? NBA offseason is like a day.
I didn't get it either. But
MLB offseason it's going to be going until through spring training, practically the way guys sign nowadays.
The only one Tony doesn't light into is Corey.
Now, why is that?
Because Corey never argues with me. He knows I'm right. He's got the message. He got the memo.
He knows right. No, you.
I feel like a phone call coming. Corey, if you're listening, I want you to call up the show right now.
What you do is, it's like somebody will say something, you'll call them out on it. It's not like they argue with you necessarily. I have yet to see you do that with Corey.
You know what? I'll look for something for him to screw up this week. But you know what? Here's the difference between you and him, though, Scott. He'll back down, right?
Yeah.
And you just keep going and going and going.
That's true. I'm like the Energizer debater, you know?
Me and Scott got in the worst fight one morning at SiriusXM, Joe Pisapi. I thought people thought the show was not going to go on. It was the craziest thing ever.
Why?
I was trying to go... about what we do.
Yeah, but why would they think the show doesn't go on? That's what professionals do. Professionals argue and then they move on.
Well, we threw the mic at each other and there was almost no equipment left.
Well, that's different. Yeah. We start throwing things at each other.
I kept missing.
Mike, have you ever thrown anything at Luke besides a baseball? You ever gotten so mad at him you threw something at your friend there?
I don't know. We play golf a lot. He threw a club at me once because.
See, those are friends. It's like Tony yeah, and I had our thing, and like we saw each other a half hour later, and he joked around with me. But I was like, I said, you know what really pissed me off? I kept throwing things at you, but you're so damn short, I couldn't hit you. It's like kept going over your head.
Jesus.
Oh my God. That's awesome. That's what you do. This is what we do. So you have argument. Go ahead, Tony. Go ahead.
The guy throws clubs. Did you ever throw your club in the water?
I've never gotten
people
so
listening, so I'm going
water.
To abstain from answering that question.
Nah.
We both caddy at our country club, and I've witnessed it with my guy.
Really?
There are some great characters at these places. No,
I was just going to ask you, I've played in a couple events where I got to have a caddy, which was fun, but I can't imagine like the guys who are out there doing it every day, what kind of people they meet and come across. Like, are a lot of these guys that you come across, or even the women too, are they awful, and yet they feel, is that the best, like when you get the awful golfer who's out there with all the stuff and all the high-end clubs and all the things and they can't hit a ball straight?
Well, it's not even that they're bad, it's that when they're bad and they don't pay well.
Because
like you can be good, and like the most of the good people, like they'll pay well. But like if you're bad, like I'm following your ball like everywhere, going off the rough, two bags on my shoulders. I don't want to. Don't throw me the minimum.
And we also got to laugh at their crappy jokes for 4.5 hours, like they're like the best comedian on the East Coast. And like, and if we have to go through all that, and like they still like, oh, like
ask us for reads on putts.
Where like is when they ask us for a read, and we'll give them the right read. They'll hit it a foot to the right and miss and say, come on, dude, like, what are you looking at? I'm like, you didn't hit it to where
really?
I said. Like,
so I give you a golf story. Me and my brother were golfing one time, right? And somehow he drove the cart into the water. And I said, I'm out of here. And I just walked off the course and let him deal with the whole thing. I just left. Left my clubs and everything. I didn't care. That's it. I said, you're on your own. And the other three guys were just there. I mean, if you drive the cart into the water, what is a reasonable explanation for that?
I can't imagine having to go tell my boss that someone drove a golf cart into a lake. Like, if I survived, it would be probably one of the funniest things that would have ever happened.
Yeah, so I just left. I said, he's on his own.
Now, what else can you do? Some news here we did not mention, too. Justin Houston, by the way, not playing in this one. As well, so no Johnson, no Houston, so that linebacking core a bit banged up. Does that impact anything on the Denver side for anybody here? Open to the table here.
The non-existent running game.
Well, that's what I mean, the non-existent running game, but is there enough injuries there where we start to go there's opportunity or no?
They can be, but I wouldn't take a chance. Like, I don't know, Justin Forsett, Devin Booker, I don't know what you do here. I would ignore it.
How about you, Scott? Same thing?
Yeah, I agree with Tony there.
Yeah, I'm. I think 3 for 3. I'm sure you guys too. You agree, Luke?
Yes,
Mike, you're still ignoring it no matter what. Yeah, can't buy into Justin Forsett too much. All right, let's hit a break here, and we'll get a clean slate when we come back. We'll talk about tight ends, talk about defenses, and break down the values and where the dangers might lie. You're listening to The Game Day right here on Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Be right back after this. Oh, yeah, baby. Little 8-bit Rudolph. That's all you need. That's how you close out a show. All right, let's hit the tight ends, and then we'll do a little Christmas talk here, a little holiday chatter. Cameron Brate at 39, a great value, obviously. Outside of that, Tony Sincotta, who are the valuable tight ends that you're looking at this week?
The valuable tight ends, as we spend a lot of time on tight ends today, so we get everybody's tight end covered. You got to look at it. And from the DraftKings side of things, I like Delanie Walker, of course, at $4,300. We talked about him a little early in the show. I think Eric Ebron's not a bad play today. C.J. Frederickwitz being back, and Vernon Davis. So today, not spending up on tight ends, going a little cheap for the tight ends.
Yeah.
How about you, Scott?
Vernon Davis at $3,000. Deion Sims, who has the eye of Matt Moore, at $2,600 as well, is another guy I like.
Now, for those of you looking to get involved in a contest, the Black Book is running our contest. Last week, we had 40 entries in it. We filled up all 40 spots with room to spare there. I know it's earlier than normal, so you could tweet at me at JoePZPS17. I think there's a half a dozen spots left to fill if you want to get in there. It's the 12 games of Christmas. You have to have either Kyle Rudolph in honor of the theme of Christmas, or you have to have Taylor Gabriel in your lineup to play. So if you want in there, tweet us. That's actually, Dan Strafford won the whole thing last week, so he came away with the little pot there. It's fun. It's a little side thing we do here to remember that it's supposed to be a good time, fantasy sports. How about you boys over there? Mike, let's start with you. Any tight ends that you like this week? Do you like Greg Olsen and you want to pay up because of the fact there's really, you know, nobody else? There's a bunch of guys you're kind of throwing darts at?
He's listed at 5,200.
Yep.
Honestly, I'm going to agree. I know Luke is high on this guy, Hunter Henry. I'd prefer even him over Olsen, to be honest. Cleveland's, I don't know what their deal is at this point.
Yeah, I mean, Cleveland's given up the most touchdowns to tight ends in the league at 12.
That's why I got Henry in the black book myself.
Yeah, yep. I like Henry as well.
Yeah, I agree with you on there. Let's talk about defense. Top of the board, we got Seahawks, Patriots, Rams. Still not buying the Rams out there. But of the top ones there, you think this is a spot where you want to fade these top guys? Where do you go for defense this week? You like the Packers, Luke, maybe, against Minnesota offense that's just dreadful?
Yeah, I mean, that performance that they put out against the Colts was abysmal. I could definitely see that. The Packers is a good play. I would go down that road. The Vikings have been pretty generous to opposing defenses.
Mike, are you willing to spend up to the top for the Seahawks, considering the amount of turnovers that Arizona's had this year, especially Carson Palmer?
I am. Yeah,
there you go.
I don't.
I like a man of very few words. I like that about you.
Arizona, I wasn't even high on them last year. I know they had a phenomenal season last year, but lost Floyd, and David Johnson's really their only bright light.
I could see Seattle pound their D line pounding Palmer this week and getting hit.
I don't see how you
times.
Don't spend money for San Diego at $3,400 against Robert Griffin and the Browns. Also, you know, the other one I like Arizona if you want to save money at $2,600. I think they're going to keep the score down under 20, and they're going to get some sacks.
How about you, Tony? Where do you like the defense this week?
I like all the ones you mentioned, but if you want a cheap one, real cheap, go with the Saints. Tampa Bay is going to throw the ball in this game. Jameis Winston has a lot of turnovers.
Yes.
The defense has been playing better. You might get a run back in that one. That's the real cheap one. It's not about a flyer, but that's where I would go on a couple tournament lineups.
All right, since it is Christmas and we got a little bit of time left, I'm going to ask you boys real fast. Let's start with our guest, Sierra. Let's start with you, Mike. What was the best Christmas present you ever got as a kid?
Oh, God. Actually, I got my backyard. I got a field goal post.
Yeah. Was your dad trying to get you to be a kicker? Is that what he's trying to do?
When I was younger in middle school, I was a kicker and I played quarterback too. But like, my dad was trying to like hype it up a little, I guess. And
well, hey, it's a potentially long career, and you don't even have to be any good. Look at who's out there now.
My brother, he's the high school kicker now, so he's using that, I'm pretty sure. So it's a good purchase.
Outstanding. How about you there, Luke? What was your favorite Christmas present as a kid?
Man, that's tough.
Well, we ask the tough questions here on Game Day. That's what we do.
I'm funny. I'm more confident in my my fantasy responses than in this one.
This is easy. When you were a kid, what brought you the joy?
Man, I've gotten so many good ones. I mean, obviously, like, the technology is always nice with the phones and whatever. But I actually got a motorized scooter once. And, like, once when I got it, I was like, wow. Like, I was like, well, because I don't actually ask for a lot. Like, I never have, like, a big thing that I really ask for. I kind of just, like, let it happen. And when I got it, I was like, oh, I'm not sure how much I'm going to use it. But I actually ended up using it a ton. And, like, I overused it and it died recently and it had to be thrown in the trash. But I got it like 6 years or 7 years ago, so it had a good run. That was a very underrated present, in my opinion, that I had.
Tony, how about you? What was your big Christmas present as a kid? Did you get the BB gun? What were you looking for?
No, the Lisa Ann Fleshlight was one of the ones that I really used, and I still use it to this day. So it's the gift that keeps on giving.
The what?
Lisa Ann Fleshlight.
The Fleshlight?
Yeah,
I thought you said that was.
Why'd you have to ask him?
I don't know. How about you, Scott? What was your favorite holiday gift as a kid?
I would say they used to have talking baseball and talking football. You used to put a little record like inside the recorder and tell you was single, double, and also Kiss Alive 2 in 1978.
There you go. Mine was Ewok, the Ewok Village. That was mine. Listen,
oh, I got the Happy Death
Holidays.
Star, yeah.
Listen, Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah, all you guys out there. Happy New Year. We'll be back again next Sunday in our regular time. I want to thank Mike Cardano Jr., Luke Menino, Tony Cicada, Pete Considori, everybody, Scott Engel, myself. Merry Christmas, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your holidays.